broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September the 29th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, the websites to support, please. Live and on-demand radio, free at your fingertips. If you have the heart to help, donate today. And before we get into the topic at hand, Kurt, I kind of want to know, how do you want to do this? You've got a story, which is a phenomenal story. I've got a companion story, which is the opposite. And I want to turn those two stories into a bigger discussion. So do you want to start out with the positive story or the negative story?
Since you know the negative one, you might as well, make that decision, Sam.
All right, I'll start with a negative story. And the reason why I will is because I'd rather start negative and end positive. How's that? And I want to highlight the contrast between two views. You know, the coronavirus has been difficult, to say the least. The riots in the streets, really the degraded immorality of America has been the problem. But there's two narratives that are going on simultaneously, as always. The question is, do you believe that the cup is half full or half empty, right? I'm kind of a half full guy. I'm kind of a guy that says, you know what, I know things are negative, but God loves me, and I'm his son, and he's put me on the earth today to do some wonderful things, and it isn't about negativity. It's about, hey, I want to fulfill God's will for me. And when I do, he'll make more out of my life than I can of my own life. It's kind of the idea. That's how I roll. So with that in mind, I'm going to start with a negative story. I'm going to, in my opinion, hopefully replace it with a positive story in your minds to help you lean positive as well. All right? So the headline says this. Blake Shelton, country star. And it basically talks about how Blake Shelton mainly has the same mindset as most Americans. You know what that is, Kurt?
No.
2020 sucks.
Okay.
It's horrible. All right. It's horrible. And they want you to believe that Blake Shelton shares the views of most Americans on this. So he was on the Ellen Show, and he says, 2020 just sucks. That's according to Fox News. And then he goes on and he says, I refuse to spend another minute sober. Okay? So Blake Shelton, 2020 sucks and I refuse to spend another minute sober. Okay, I don't mean to be rude, but what a nutcase. And then that's the same mindset that everybody supposedly has, says the writer, the author. Now, Kurt, I can't disagree with this more. Okay? I just can't disagree with this story more. Okay, I don't think 2020 sucks. I agree it's been a difficult year. But I believe it's an epic year when it comes to people waking up and realizing how tyrannical their government's become. I think it's an epic year in terms of people deciding to turn to God, even though the mainstream press doesn't want you to believe that. I believe a lot of people are starting to take stock about what's important in their lives. And people are starting to repent and change and turn to greater things, to God, family, and country. They're having less entertainment, more time for thoughts and reflections, more time for scriptures and God. And yeah, maybe they can't go to church physically, and that's a challenge for sure. But people, I believe, are becoming more spiritual and more liberty-minded as a whole. Now, the mainstream press won't articulate that because they don't believe in that. They want you to tell you that everything sucks and you should just go get drunk. You shouldn't spend another minute sober for the whole rest of the year. For heck's sake, starts the eggnog early, kind of an idea. Stick a fork in it. The election is just a rout. It's going to be fraudulent by whichever side you believe is the fraudulent folks. And it's just horrible, and there's no answers. That's what the mainstream press loves to pitch, Blake Shelton being their, quote, alcoholic poster boy. I couldn't disagree more. However, here's what I would agree with. The story Kurt highlighted is tremendous, and we need more of this and less of the Blake Shelton, in my opinion, meltdowns. And the story talked about going on a 15-minute awe walk. Kurt?
Well, yeah, and it's from our pals at dailymail.co.uk, so it's across the pond, Sam. And
sometimes you got to go that far to get good news, buddy. But you know what? If that's what it takes, that's what we do, huh?
Yep, and their complete headline, you know, along with some sub-headlines, kind of give you the, you know, the gist of the story. Going on a 15-minute awe walk, and it's A-W-E, like awesome or whatever, each week, and stopping to appreciate nature helps boost positive emotions and reduce stress, study shows.
Now, Sam, now I want you to repeat that, Kurt, because think about that. It's something that doesn't take a lot of money. It's something that almost everyone can do. I mean, if you can't walk, I understand, but I'm just saying it's a very inexpensive, like free thing that you can do. It doesn't cost money, and the results are tremendous. So maybe Blake ought to put down the alcohol and go on an awe walk, huh, Kurt? But read that headline, because the benefits. When we'll get into this more in detail, because that's where the sub-headlines come in. But this is incredible. Read this again.
Going on a 15-minute awe walk each week and stopping to appreciate nature helps boost positive emotions and reduce stress, study shows.
Now, we'll talk about the emotions in a second, but Kurt, you're not just going on a walk. You're going on an awe walk. And I think of awe, you know, the government wants you to do the shock and awe war thing. Let's skip the shock, stick with the awe for a second. But we're talking about more than awe like government's all powerful. We're talking about awe as in God's in his heaven. And the nature that he's created as he's created us all is something to be in awe about. And it starts with a mindset on your walk that sets the stage for the emotions we're going to talk about, Kurt.
Well, that's right. The sub-headlines say, making an effort to soak up details of the world around us is a happiness boost. Another one of the sub-headlines, these awe walks also increase emotions such as compassion and gratitude. U.S. experts also analyzed selfies to find that smiles were bigger after awe walks. Smiles were bigger?
Why do you think that would be true, Kurt?
Well, you know, Sam, it's kind of interesting to me. You go through this, you know, a rather lengthy article, and you don't really find any mention, at least in my opinion, of what you really, I mean, the further part that they would need to go, and that is that you're appreciating the maker of the earth. You're appreciating these things. You're seeing God's beauties and that kind of thing, and yet, you know, God doesn't even get mentioned in the story.
Right. The closest they get is to nature and to awe.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad they are doing that. Don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
Because they're on the right track, but they got to connect the dots, Kurt. They've got to take you all the way. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. You ever heard of a song called With Wondering Awe?
Yes.
All right. Because that relates to this awe point I'm trying to get across, Kurt. Uh-huh. We're not talking about just awe like awesome. The military can blow everything up. Awe. We're not shocking awe stuff. Yep. What we're talking about is, what does awe mean, Kurt?
Well, it, at least for me, it just means you're just struck with the amazement that it is. I mean, it's kind of like me when I go out each day and take care of the chickens and pick up an egg and I think, you know, how did that happen, you know? I mean, I know it's, you know, I guess what some folks would call low tech. But, you know, think of the chicken walking around, eating a little food along with doing pest control in your yard and then somehow makes that egg. You know, it's just
Yeah.
amazing.
Yes, it's like when you are with your wife and she has a baby.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, that's even, you know,
a bigger,
a higher level of amazement. Yeah, awe or whatever. You know, and you just don't really know what to say, except you're just, I guess you're kind of like Zig Ziglar when he says, I'm just feeling like somebody, I'm going through the swinging door on somebody else's push. You know, you're just happy to be there.
So the definition of awe is an emotion combining wonder that is inspired by authority or by the sacred or sublime. And then they say how to use awe in a sentence or whatever. But I look at that, and the closest they get to God is this awe point. And I think they're getting close.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not criticizing the point. What I'm doing is saying you got to connect the dots, though, and let people know when you go out on an awe walk, you're talking about nature, and you're basically learning about God's creations. And as you do, then it triggers these emotions, and it makes you smile. Because you realize, maybe you don't cognitively understand if you've been indoctrinated so long, but you realize in your heart and in your soul that you are God's child. You are the offspring of God, as the Bible puts it, and He loves you. And when you spend time in His world looking at, what do they say, the world around you, or the, what was the word?
Sorry, I can't find it. But,
all right, anyway, it reduces your stress, and as you focus on the world around us. In other words, when you focus on all God's creations and tap into the Creator's love, great things happen. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats General Default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, so you got to go on an awe walk, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe the awe stands for understanding God's creations more fully. And if you go on a 15-minute, quote, awe walk weekly, and you stop to appreciate God's creations, that's what they call nature, it helps boost positive emotions, and it reduces stress. Studies show making an effort, ladies and gentlemen, to look at the details of the world around us. Now, they say soak up the details. So you don't soak up the suds like old whacked out country singer wants to do. You soak up the details of the world around us. In other words, you soak up God's creations and you go, you're in awe about that. It stirs positive emotions, reduces stress, makes you smile. What else, Kurt? There are specific emotions. Gratitude, I think you mentioned.
Well, I mean, you have They even mentioned that they analyzed these selfies, and the smiles were actually bigger for people that, you know, did that. And, you know, I mean, you have, you know, this whole idea of a happiness boost. They increase emotions such as compassion and gratitude. I mean, you'd want that going on big time in America, you know, everywhere or in the world, frankly, Sam. And what's amazing to me is they had to have some scientists figure this out. I mean, I think you probably could have figured this out pretty easily without a bunch of, you know, tax funding, I'm sure. But these U.S. experts found that these awe walks can make us smile more. You know, I guess that the professor there, Virginia Sturm is her name, at the University of California, San Francisco, she said, what we show here is that a very simple intervention, essentially a reminder to occasionally shift our energy and attention outward instead of inward, can lead to significant improvements in emotional well-being. Experiencing awe is such a simple practice. Just taking a moment to look out the window or pausing to consider the technological marvels that surround us, you know, like an egg, and we now show it can have measurable effects on our emotional well-being. A little more joy and a little more connectedness with the world around us is something all of us could use these days. Well, I think you could use
amen
it
to that. Day, you know? Heard that. All right, now, Kurt, I want to contrast this, though, with the Blake Shelton plan. Hey, the world sucks. Everything is awful. It's horrible. I'm not gonna spend another second sober.
Yep.
And I'm going, Blake, my friend, do not, you know, dive down into despair. Take courage, my brother. Focus on Christ. Focus on the ultimate hope. Focus on the good news that the gospel is. Take courage from a 15-minute awe walk. You know what? Soak up the creations of God around you. Don't soak up the suds. Kurt?
I guess you could almost also say that this is sort of social distancing stuff, Sam, right? I mean, you know, you're...
Well, both of them are social distancing, nature. Right?
Yeah.
If you just get in your house and get drunk and stay away from everybody versus if you go out into nature. I just prefer one social distancing plan over the other.
Yeah, there you go.
You know? Now, Kurt, do you have more on this?
I don't see.
All right,
because
I got a follow-up story. You know, so if you go all get all drunk and you're not sober, you probably won't be able to help in this next event. But if you get out and soak up the sun and soak up God's love and learn about his creation.
Instead of soaking up the suds, you know.
Yeah, skip the suds, do the sun, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
But go on a 15-minute awe walk and gain all the wonderful benefits that the study highlights. And when you do that, then you might be willing to be involved in this next event I want to tell you about, Kurt. My wife sent this one to me.
Oh, okay.
It's from a group called The Church News.
Uh-huh.
Thechurchnews.com. And people don't really know what that is, maybe. That's why I'm explaining it. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that has a website called thechurchnews.com.
Right.
And on that website, they have a cool story. Now, if you're soaking up the suds and you're not sober, you probably won't feel comfortable at this event. But if you're out enjoying the 15-minute awe walk, and when you get done and you're feeling all invigorated and your smile's bigger and all these things are happening, and then you find out about this, you might just decide, I want to go to that. It's called Operation Firewood Rescue, buddy.
Yeah, I read about
that. Now, do you know about this? It's super cool, man. It is super cool. All right, so you go on this 15-minute awe walk, and you get tapped into nature, and you're breathing fresh air, and you're going, this is cool. Life isn't so bad. Yeah, there's some tough things that we got to go through. I get it. That's what planet Earth is about. It's a great test of our will to see if we'll, you know, pursue our own goals or if we'll make our will God's will, okay? That's the purpose of us being here in the first place. But I digress, except to say, if you get involved in Operation Firewood Rescue, it says how tragedy... Think about that. How tragedy on the Wasatch Front, that's a nickname for the main part of Utah here, where most of the people live on the Wasatch Front is what it's called.
That's right.
But anyways, how tragedy on the Wasatch Front, and I could really expand that to tragedy worldwide, right, Kurt?
Yeah.
Became a blessing for the Navajo Nation, thechurchnews.com. So what happened was, Kurt, do you want to explain this to everybody? This is really cool.
Well, sure. So, just a little while back, we had a pretty good, I guess you could say, just mostly north of us. There was some of this wind, hit our area, but mostly north of us, it got some 80-mile-an-hour plus winds and, basically tore out a whole bunch of, older trees and things like that. And, there was quite some concern, not too much damage to home and life or whatever, but, it's pretty unusual.
A lot of people lost power, though, and a lot of destruction.
That's right. That's right. It's quite unusual for us to have those type of winds. I said at the time, though, it sure is a good time to pray extra, and it's a good reminder of the power of God. But anyway, as a result of this, you got a lot of these downed trees, especially older, more mature, big trees and that kind of thing. And you've got a bunch of cleanup work. Like you've seen it, or people have seen the pictures of in places where they have like hurricanes or whatever. I mean, it's way more of a problem there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is just like that or something, but in our area, it was.
But let me say what we are talking about. We are talking about things that could just be a tragedy. Everybody could just go, I'm just going to go get drunk. It's horrible. It's, or you could respond in a positive way is what we're really getting.
Well, that's right. And what you have is you had a boatload of folks, they pretty much organized, church-wise and, helped in their neighborhoods. And then they'd take the downed trees into, like, church parking lots and cut them up into smaller amounts and that kind of thing. And so they're cleaning up where the trees went down and fixing up things. And then they're also putting that wood all together. And then they had a bunch of, and these are all volunteers. This is, at least from what I saw, government involvement going on, just volunteers of all these people. And, then they connected it with this, a lot of good people down in the southern part of Utah, about 300 miles away, where in the winters, they mentioned the term Navajo Nation. They typically are not really, most of their homes are all social distanced, if you will. And so they rarely have even power or water. That kind of thing. They're living, a little bit more back in the vintage kind of life.
Yeah, they don't have modern air conditioning and or heating and that kind of stuff in their homes. Yeah. They're usually wood or coal or, whatever other kind of heating methods, right?
That's right. And so these, all this wood and trees and everything were delivered via volunteer labor and volunteer equipment, trucks, all this kind of stuff, down to that area. And you saw the tremendous response of the people there where they were just, they're just overwhelmed by that cool gift. And, I just thought.
I don't really want to say cool gift, just a warming gift, Kurt.
That's right. Good point.
But it is cool. It's a cool, warming gift. There's no doubt about it. But I bring this up, Kurt, because if you go on one of those awe walks, then you roll down there and get involved in what's that thing called, Operation Firewood?
Yeah, that's right.
Operation Firewood Rescue. And I bet the smiles are even bigger after that. Great. I bet the gratitude's just over the top. I mean, people just get mad you're so happy.
That's right. They'd be like, what's up with this guy,
You bug. You're too happy. What are you, a morning person?
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, there's cool stuff everywhere, folks. You got to hunt for it, though.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. Tonight's the first presidential debate of the election season. It's to be held in Cleveland, where officials have been addressing concerns about unrest in the streets during the event. Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams says the National Guard's being deployed in the city today.
The role of the National Guard is to support law enforcement here during the debate. They're in a support role, as they have been in a lot of places across the country. They're here to make sure that people exercise their constitutional rights and that they're safe in doing that.
The 90-minute debate between President Trump and Democrat Joe Biden will be moderated by Chris Wallace of Fox News. The candidates will break a tradition and won't shake hands because of the pandemic. U.S. House Democrats introducing a new $2.2 trillion coronavirus relief plan, including another round of $1,200 stimulus payments and providing funding for schools and small businesses. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A Northern California wildfire, one of many in that region, but this one has already killed three people. It's now forcing more mandatory evacuations. The Zog Fire started Sunday in Shasta County, 4 hours north of San Francisco, and it's burned more than 31,000 acres. It's not contained at all. Some experts say there appears to be a link between living at higher altitudes and suicides by veterans. A Utah congressman putting forward a bill in hopes of studying that connection. Democratic Congressman Ben McAdams talked about the bill yesterday.
It directs the VA to research this connection. Then it goes one step further to use what we learn to develop life-saving tools that will prevent veteran suicide.
The Tampa Bay Lightning beating the Dallas Stars 2-0 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton last night. It's Tampa's second cup in franchise history. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to keep the positive vibe rolling, shall we? So Kurt emails me. This is a story you emailed me a bit ago, Kurt, but I got to bring it up now because it's so related. I try to string stories together oftentimes that make sense, right? Well, there's two stories in a row here. Well, there's three. First one talks about coronavirus deaths. And that sounds negative at first until you hear that they're 75% lower, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. The headline from WorldNet Daily, coronavirus deaths 75% lower in nations using hydroxychloroquine, Sam. Subheadline, epidemiologists issue urgent call to depoliticize medicine. How has medicine become politicized, Sam? How do you want to break this down for folks?
Well, it's hard to know why, right? Because I don't know if their goal is to destroy society. I don't know if their goal is just drug companies making tons of money, right? But I know this. I don't want it to be politicized, and I want the truth. If hydroxychloroquine helps, then by golly, I want doctors to be able to use it, Kurt. Now, I'm not really a drug guy.
Right.
But if we're going to weigh the cost of drugs versus the benefits of drugs versus the, you know, whatever, if we're going to go down that road, I'd like to at least go down the road that doctors who don't have an agenda feel like might be the best way to go.
Exactly.
It isn't about Trump. It isn't about the FDA. It isn't about getting rich. It's about life. The headline.
The issue is honesty. Huh?
Yeah. The headline says, coronavirus deaths. And you think it's negative until you hear 75% lower in nations that use hydroxychloroquine. So I'm going, well, by golly, let's look at that as an option because we're pro-life, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And so is the president. And I'm not here to debate it. I'm just here to say if other countries are using it, if a lot of physicians in America say that it works and that it's valuable, why not double down on that effort?
Well, and you even see, Sam, you know, like Governor Cuomo from New York, I mean, he appears to be all concerned about life, you know, saying that, you know, we've got to keep people safe. We've got to keep you in your house or you can't be eating together because, you know, it's just dangerous for you, you know. And yet, apparently... you know, I mean, they continue to kill babies in New York, as far as I know. And, you know, then this idea that we can find, you and I, in our small, you know, base of operations or whatever, we can find stories like this where, you know, like Dr. Jane Orient, she's somebody who writes, you know, for WorldNet Daily as well as Breitbart, but she's the... executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she says, why is the death rate about 75% lower in many countries? You know, to me, that's a very good question, and you'd think if you're so concerned with, you know, the COVID-19 thing that you'd want to look, say, why? And the article continues, says the reference is to a country-based analysis updated as of the 20th of September, so 9 days ago, that shows a gap between countries that treat COVID-19 early, or here's a big, you know, medical word, prophylactically, which means before people get it, with hydroxychloroquine, and those that, like the U.S., discourage or prohibit its use. The answer to Dr. Orient's question can be found in a white paper, they say, published by the Economic Standard this month that was titled Hydroxychloroquine and the Burden of Proof, an Urgent Call to Depoliticize Medicine in the COVID-19 Pandemic. And, you know, then they talk about... you know, what has happened or whatever. But they say no subject has been more distorted than hydroxychloroquine, a safe, versatile medicine that has treated hundreds of millions of people for numerous diseases for 7 decades. You know, it says most Americans became aware of the drug in March. Here we are, September, right? 6 months later. When President Trump mentioned it during a press conference, saying it showed, quote, very, very encouraging early results, end quote, and could be a game changer. Those are another quote from him. However, the article says political opponents and defied longstanding scientific and medical consensus to portray HCQ or hydroxychloroquine as harmful and Trump as a mortal danger to public health. Flawed and even falsified studies were published and promoted by media outlets eager to discredit Trump, while positive studies were impugned or ignored. You know, the bottom line, Sam, is, you know, if you ask yourself a simple question, what isn't politicized these days? It's kind of hard to find something that's not, isn't it?
Yes, that's for sure. What is Jane's headline? Lessons from a 9-month COVID emergency?
Yeah, well, coronavirus death 75% lower in nations using hydroxychloroquine. The reason I mentioned the lady's name...
I know, but she mentions lessons learned. What are the lessons we've learned, Kurt? I think that's instructive to kind of understand.
Well, the lessons we've learned is that, you know, once again, he who owns the media makes the rules, like you've taught us for a long time, and the media wants to oppose the president. He brought it out in March, Most people, you know, are in fear of even using it simply because of the way the media has opposed it, right?
Without a doubt. And that's kind of why I want to bring up these lessons. The lessons that we've learned is this. When you give up your liberty for security, you wind up with neither, just as the founding fathers told us. Okay, we're no better off because we all locked down. We're no better off because we, you know, you'd say, oh, no, everybody would be dead otherwise. You know what? They don't have any proof or evidence of that. In fact, quite the contrary. Go look at Sweden and other places that did not lock down, did not destroy their economies. So we've learned a big lesson about liberty, a big lesson about security, and a big lesson about how to preserve both. Okay, we've learned a big lesson about the importance of turning to God. And you know what? Even though you don't have sports and you don't have the ability to run around and spend and get and spend and get, economically speaking, we've learned that your true blessings are in your family and focusing on simple things is a blessing. Spending time together as a family with less things on your calendar is a good thing. We've learned so many things from this coronavirus, Kurt. It's shocking. We've also learned that, hey, it's not good to just throw your tear in your beer and just melt down in alcoholism. But you know what? Getting out, going on a 15-minute awe walk, get involved in things like Operation Firewood Rescue, that kind of stuff. We've learned that that's the answer to happiness. All right, we've learned that coronaviruses are 75% less. The deaths are 75% less in countries that are willing to use alternative treatments that are not backed by the mainstream. We've learned that radio plays an integral part in solutions when done right. But I want to finish the broadcast by talking about a huge story Kurt sent me. And it says this. A friend sent me a Coca-Cola ad done by a Belgian advertising company or agency. And it had the tagline that said, happiness starts with a smile. Do you have this one, Kurt? I've got the whole story here that I can break down. If you've got it, I can let you take over. If not, I'll start on it and you can find this thing. I can't believe you don't remember this. If you would smile more, sir, it would help your memory. I'm just joking. That's what they say in the article. But it's really cool, though. It's a huge story. And it is worth every minute we spend on it. Let me say this again. A Coca-Cola ad was done by a Belgian advertising company, an agency with a tagline, happiness starts with a smile. Now, this is a huge story, folks. It's massive. The commercial takes place, Kurt, on a cramped subway as people are boarding the train going home from work. Everyone's silent and keeping to themselves. It's a somber occasion. It's just horrible, right? Everybody's going to go home and get all drunk and then stay there. Don't let it happen. Suddenly, Kurt, the camera focuses on an actor. A hired actor, by the way, who randomly starts smiling while looking at his tablet. Then he starts to laugh. He starts to laugh more and more. More and more. Everyone on the subway looks up at this guy like, what is up with you? But then they take notice and start smiling and laughing. The rest of the story in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Yeah, some corporations get it. So we're talking about a Coca-Cola ad done by a Belgian advertising agency with a tagline, "Happiness starts with a smile." Now, McDonald's is famous for this, too. We love to make you smile. But this goes back to this awe walk we were talking about and back to this idea of about a positive viewpoint. So they say this Subway commercial highlighting this reality starts out and everybody's going on the subway. Everybody's silent. It's a somber occasion. Everybody's just burned out from work. It's horrible. And this hired paid actor, starts looking at his tablet and starts smiling and laughing. And everybody looks up like, what the heck? And then pretty soon they say everybody on the train starts smiling and laughing and going, what? This is great. What are you laughing at? Well, it turns out that smiling is a bonding agent. It builds bridges to other people around us. It keeps us from remaining aloof and separate from one another. It just goes to show you that smiling and laughing are indeed contagious. Well, the author then says, I read in Self magazine that 94% of Americans polled said they notice a person's smile when they have a first encounter. People were less likely to notice other people's bodies or eyes when you smile.
By the way, Sam, it's a little more difficult to do that when you're all masked up, right?
Well, yeah, they don't want that, Kurt. That's my point. That's what I'm getting at. Right? But you're right. You're highlighting a critical point, indeed. And that's why we've got to be very careful not to fall for the mask lies, Kurt. We really do. I mean, I know they're going to say you're going to kill everybody, but I'm telling you this. Smiling is a bonding agent. Smiling increases people's immune systems. Anyway, they say there are so many benefits to smiling and laughing. A genuine smile and laugh increase the production of serotonin. That's the happy hormone. Or serotonin. Serotonin. That's the happy hormone. Also, what they call dopamine, I guess they call that the feel-good endorphins, right? And they say that creates slow cortisol production and diminish feelings of stress, anxiety, and depression. All right? This is huge. Years ago, this author says, I saved an article from USA Today explaining that we learn in childhood people skills such as listening, remembering names, and smiling. It's amazing how people's moods and words are misjudged because they look too serious. A smile shows that you like yourself, you like your current place in the world, and you're happy with the people that you're interacting in it. You should commit to making others smile every day of the week, says the article. The first Friday of October, Kurt, coming up, right? Was designated as World Smile Day. Did you know that?
That hasn't really been promoted very much, Sam.
Why not?
As far as I'm aware of. Well, here's the main reason. That's one of those positive things, Sam. I mean, imagine if everybody picked up on that. I mean, you'd have people smiling and saying, well, you know, we're having a hard time seeing the smile. So how do we do that? You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, commercial artist great. Harvey Ballas, who found or created of the ubiquitous smiley face, who believe we should dedicate 1 year to smiles and kind acts. I think we should do every day like that, but that's just me. Smiling and laughing, believe it or not, Kurt, provide a workout. One smile, believe it or not, uses more than 16 muscles. During a battle after, the body increases its oxygen intake, which is just as good, they say, as taking cleansing breaths. That's why smiling and laughing, says the author, are my favorite exercises. Researchers in Germany, believe it or not, instructed a group of people to laugh on demand. Goal? To measure their core muscles. The data showed that laughing enhanced core muscles as much so, if not more, than doing back stretches and crunches. Want another reason to laugh, Kurt? Results from a California study published by the AARP, which I'm not a fan of, but they say it has an incredible impact on short-term memory. Participants were separated into two groups. First group watched a 20-minute comedy video, and the second group sat in silence. Both groups were, quote, given memory recall tests after the 20-minute period, and the group that watched the comedy video scored much higher. Anyway, even if you don't have anything to laugh about, they say, you should force yourself to laugh. That's a new study also that just came out, done at the University of Illinois, Kurt, that shows how smiling can influence your mood and your outlook. Researchers in this study divided people into three groups to observe their reactions to a humorous cartoon. One group was to put a pen held in their hands. The other one was told to put a pen in their lips in an effort to make them frown. Right? Because if you put a pen in your lip, then it kind of forces a frown on your face, right? The third group held the pen between their teeth, forcing them to smile. Guess which group found the cartoon to be the funniest? The third group. They say if you smile, you will find other things to laugh about. If you laugh, you'll exercise your core. You'll take in more oxygen, and you'll feel more alive. Anyway, a cool bunch of studies all in a row talking about smiling. All right. Blake Shelton says 2020 sucks, and I refuse to spend another second sober. Or another minute sober, he told Ellen. I would say go on a 15-minute odd walk, Blake. Get involved in things like Operation Firewood Rescue. Understand that coronavirus deaths are going down for countries that are willing to use alternative solutions. And understand that a Coca-Cola ad demonstrates that laughter is contagious. Happiness does start with a smile. I would submit it starts with a smile and a prayer. Because as you acknowledge God's influence in your life and let him into your life, you will be in awe of what God can do for your life. That would be my summary. But a genuine smile and a laugh increase the production of serotonin. And, you know, the first Friday of October coming up, that's this Friday, Kurt. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that. It's also the time of the Highland meeting. It's, you know, they have that going on as well.
Yeah, the first Friday in October, that's this Friday.
Yep.
And even if you don't have anything to laugh about, you should force yourself to laugh. And that isn't like a forced thing to say someone's going to make you do something. What they're talking about is, you know what? Decide to take charge of your attitude. Right? Yeah. Decide to make a difference. All right, we've only got a minute for this last story, but I want to highlight it because I think it's critical to the point. I think it really relates to the point we're making. Headline says this, In-N-Out CEO. Do you got this one, Kurt?
Say that.
In-N-Out CEO.
I don't.
You don't remember this one?
When's this one from?
All right. Well, anyway, In-N-Out CEO, I guess, did drugs as a youth. Now adds Proverbs 24:16 to packaging. Kurt, you want to look up Proverbs 24:16?
Yeah.
I'm glad you must be smiling more now, Kurt.
Well, good. Good point.
anyway, it's a great story to end on, Kurt, because it highlights the very point we're making. This guy was on drugs, just like Blake's all on alcohol, and where you turn to for answers, Kurt.
Well, and it even goes with, you know, our buddy there at the pillow company, you know, My Pillow. Remember him? You know, with the whole drug thing, and he had, you know, done all that stuff, and yet now he's CEO of this company and, you know, showing people how to move forward. I thought I found this, but I don't see it right now, so anyways. Pardon me.
Anyway, the guy does drugs, so all you got to do, Kurt, is look up Proverbs 24:16, because I've done all the other work for the story for you, so you're good. And look that up, and all I'm telling you is we got to read this. What's he saying on his packaging for In-N-Out, Kurt? Whenever you go to In-N-Out, this packaging has this Proverbs 24:16 on it, buddy.
Well,
what does it say?
Very good, Sam. You'd think he'd really get in trouble for this. But, you know, he doesn't, thank goodness. Let's see. There's all these different ones. I like the King James Version. For
just
though
stick with
the righteous fall seven times. No, this is new.
Proverbs 24:16.
Yeah, this is the New Inspired Version or whatever they call it, the New International Version. So it's going to be kind of close. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So it's, you know, going to be kind of close to that, you know. King James Version, there it is. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief.
So what are they saying, Kurt?
Well, for a just man, you know, sometimes you're going to fall down. You know, you're going to have tough times, but you get up again. But the wicked... you know, if you choose wickedness, you're going to, you know, have mischief in your life. You're going to, I mean, the word I would translate this as wickedness never was happiness, Sam.
Yeah,
happiness
I agree.
Happiness and righteous is good stuff.
And what he's saying is we all make mistakes. We all get in traps. We all do stupid things. You know what? But when you do, if you turn to God, there's a way out.
Exactly.
I think that's what this CEO is saying. Now, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. I'm just trying to tell you my understanding, which is God saved me, and he can save you too, is the message from the CEO. And I'm going to turn you to the Bible on our packaging as the way out of your troubles. And so I say, Blake, I'm ready to take you out, my brother, to In-N-Out. I'll buy you a burger. We'll sit down and we'll talk. Instead of talking to Ellen, you can talk to Sam, buddy, right?
Yep.
And I'll talk to you, Brother Blake Shelton, about going on a 15-minute awe walk. I'll talk to you about Operation Firewood Rescue. I'll talk to you about how coronavirus deaths are going down, and it's phenomenal news. And I'll talk to you about a Coca-Cola ad that helps people understand that happiness starts with a smile. I'll talk to you about the fact that smiling is a bonding agent and blesses lives. And I'll talk to you about what a genuine smile really can do for you. And I'll highlight the 1st October is World Smile Day. That's this Friday. And I'll tell you about a couple of CEOs, the In-N-Out CEO and the MyPillow CEO, not to mention Dave's Killer Bread, that guy. And people's lives change, Blake. And blessings are right around the corner for those who repent and turn to God. He keeps his promises. God's not the leaving kind, brother. And that's our simple message today. As redneck as it may come across, we hope to encourage you. We hope to help you take courage and turn to God Almighty and say 2020 doesn't suck. It's full of challenges, but look at the world and the blessings around you. Build relationships of love and trust in God Almighty. We declare this nation shall endure.